All right, good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's obvious the season is upon us. You know, we sing those Christmas carols. I like those. Actually, there's no reason why you wouldn't sing them year-round, but I guess that's just kind of a tradition. People got that stuck in their head. You sing these songs only at certain times during the year. So, but you know, I know I've said before, this last fall in the Pennsylvania Family Camp, my assignment is Christianity a burden or a blessing? It is bittersweet. And I was thinking about that when we were singing these songs. You know, I think when the angel of the Lord appeared there at Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, he said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings, great joy, blessing. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Savior. That sounds pretty good. "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Wow. Man, I can't imagine what that looked like. The sky lit up with a heavenly host. Talk about being scared. "Don't be afraid," they said. "Sure, okay." Then when the angels went back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste. They found Mary, Joseph, the babe lying in the manger. Yeah, we see those Christmas cards. All glittery and snow and angels and shepherds and wise men, even though the wise men weren't there, by the way. But it looks good on paper, I guess. If you're going to buy a manger scene, you got to put the wise men in there, too. They probably didn't show up for a couple years. But that's okay. Good news. Christ is born. You know, in Matthew's account, first off, Joseph was told, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." I shared this morning, don't lose your place, but I'll share this. I shared it with the guys over there this morning. It's in Acts chapter 3 where everyone kind of remembers that promise to Abraham, "I will bless all the families of the earth through you." Now, that includes Gentiles. You know, it's just funny how the Jews got so upsetted when Paul mentioned the name. "God sent me to the Gentiles." When they heard this word, the whole place blew up, and the Romans had to run in there again and grab Paul and get him out of there before they ripped him to pieces because he mentioned Gentiles. Their own prophecy said the promise to Abraham was that the blessing would be to all families of the earth, all people. To do what? He says, Acts 3, this is Peter speaking, "You are," verse 25, "you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in you, in your seed," now that seed is Christ. You know that from other scriptures. The seed is Christ. "So," he says, "and in your seed," in Christ, "all the families of the earth will be blessed." To you first, God told these here Jews, or Peter speaking, "God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." That's a good thing. That's a positive. "In what way?" "In turning every one of you from your iniquity." That's the same thing the angels say. It's, you know, many times people think Christianity is about forgiveness of sins. And then when you die in 10, 20, 30, 50 years, I don't know, it depends on how old you are, or how you live, and don't get yourself killed early. That could be a long time away that your blessing is in heaven somewhere. Beyond the azure blue. You just have to wait for it. You just hold on by your fingernails while you go through this dark, troubled world where all the wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and pestilence and famines occur. Jesus said, this is not the end. This is the beginning of sorrows. People look at all that stuff and think, the end is near. Jesus said, no, this is how the end comes. When you least expect, it'll be like the days of Noah. People be busy marrying and giving in marriage and doing just like business as usual until, like, God shut the door on the ark and the flood took them all away. So what I say to you, Jesus said, I say to all, watch, for you don't know the day or the hour your Lord will return. That's Bible. The world's always had tribulation. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. But he said, that be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so will you. In the world you have tribulation, burden. But be of good cheer, blessing. It's just the other side of the same coin. Just the other side of the same coin. So the angels heralded in the birth of Christ. Amen. This is a great thing. Glory to God. And oh, by the way, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. You know, peace on earth is not between man and man. Never was. It's peace on earth between God and man. The whosoever will. You want peace with God? You can have it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. I think that's a King James quote. Instead of the you, the perfect peace. You want perfect peace? You know, one of my favorite verses, I probably wore it out if you can do such a thing. Romans 15:13, the Apostle Paul tells the Christians at Rome, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy, all peace, in believing, operative word there, pay attention to that one, in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of your own efforts. Not quite. By the power of the Holy Spirit. God? Whoa. Jesus said Scripture can't be broken. Cannot be broken. Heaven and earth pass away. My words ain't never going to pass away. Scripture can't be broken. Is that Scripture true? That the God of hope can fill us, little mortal, finite, little beings? The God of hope can fill us with all joy? All joy? Some people be happy with a little bit of joy once in a while. All peace? Come on. In this world, people lift up their eyes to the hills. Of course, they don't know Psalms 121. They lift up to their eyes to the hills and they don't see a thing. Does the Scripture say, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Ultimately, that's where our only hope and help will ever come from. You ain't going to find it in society. Our cultures are broken. Always have been. It just gets worse. It's like ebb and flow. Some places it gets better for a little while, and where it was going pretty good goes right in the trash can almost overnight. What have you got to say about the economy? What have you got to say about the next war that might come moving into your neighborhood when you, like, what's going on, man? Oh, the rulers are having a bad day, and then we all get killed. Where's your hope? Where's your help going to ever come from? Glory to God in the high. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. The peace on earth and the goodwill towards men is from God. I told you it's bittersweet. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, it says in Matthew 2, Herod was the king. And here comes the wise men, the little guys you see by the little wooden manger. By the way, he wasn't born in a little wooden barn. He was born in a cave. You know, that was a cool experience if you ever get the chance. You go in the shepherd's fields at Bethlehem today, you see them caves. They're natural. And in those caves, they would have a part that was only for the temple lambs. When you think about how God orchestrated this whole thing, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the... Them temple lambs weren't allowed to run around the weeds out there. They kept them in them caves because they were the perfect ones. They checked them very carefully without a blemish. They were put in those lambing caves. They didn't let them run around the thickets because they were for the temple. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin. The world was born in one of them caves. How humble. Them wise men showed up way later. They came from the east. They saw the star. The star was in the west from where they were located. They were in the east, probably around Persia. They came because they saw the star in the distance. So when they showed up, they came from the east to Jerusalem. They said, "Where is he who has been born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east when we were in the east. And we've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered the chief priests, the scribes, and everyone together, he inquired of them, "When this supposed," I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "this Christ, where is he to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, as it's written by the prophet." This is in Micah. You see that in your Old Testament in the book of Micah. Chapter 5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." He wrote that hundreds of years before it ever happened. It's in the book of Micah. When Herod had secretly called the wise men, determined from them, "When did this star appear?" And they said to him, and he said to them, sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go carefully and search for the young child, and when you find him, bring back word to me that I may come worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they'd seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, you know that ain't a real star. Our sun is a star, and it ain't going to float around and come over somebody's house pointing this here, this house. As obviously was a celestial miracle. And God led them right to the house, it says house, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with his Mary, his mother. They fell down, worshiped, presented the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned by God, don't go back and tell Herod, he will try to kill that child. So they departed. Then God, the Lord, appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, "Rise, take the young child and his mother, go flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." This is not what's on the Christmas cards. When Herod saw, he was mocked, deceived by the wise men, in verse 16. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time he determined from the wise men. When did you see the star? Thus it was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. In Jeremiah, God prophesied 500 years before it happened, those children would be slaughtered. The male boys, Bethlehem, surrounding region. That wailing in Ramah. Ramah is 5 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, there's also another Ramah, and it is, let's see, I can't read my own writing. It was, oh boy, I can't read, how far away. They said either that cry was that loud that they heard it at that distance. That wailing in Ramah is quite a distance. Now, from Bethlehem, see, Bethlehem is real close to, well, it's 5 miles from Jerusalem is Bethlehem. You could throw a rock and hit it. You know, if you ever go there, it's all condensed in one very small spot. Oh, I guess that is what I was going to say. The cry was heard as far as north of Jerusalem. And Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. Again, that's not on the Christmas cards. God prophesied it and let it happen. Why didn't he stop it? Why would you prophesy such a thing and then literally sit up there and let it happen that these children would be slaughtered by this guy? Because it had to happen that way. You got to think about it for a minute. Who did the angels tell to where they could find this child? He told the shepherds. The shepherds were the ones that got the message. The shepherd said, let's go there and see it. And that's what they did. They ran there, they looked, they found the manger, and they put their eyeballs on this child. The shepherds did. Because guess what? It was going to be their babies that was going to get killed. That's who died. The shepherd's babies. That had to happen. He wanted them to see so they would know their children died so his could live to save all of us. One day, including them. Plausible. Herod had to know. Hey, he had reasonable belief that he got him. I got him, so you didn't keep looking for him. And the Lord directed them to take him to Egypt until Herod was dead. Got to read between the lines. The shepherd's children. What's going on here? Bittersweet. Burden or a blessing? Burden or a blessing? Well, you think for the shepherds there's a burden. No, he wanted them to see. There's a blessing. The sacrifice of their own kids so that the Son of God could live. Think about that. When you think about it, he would save the people from their sin. You know, in James, when it tells us as Christians to count it all joy when we go through trials. That's not normal. We don't do that. Nobody does that. Nobody counts it joy when they're going through various trials. He said, no, but it's working something. It's working. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Peter says the same thing. To count it joy in trial. Again, that's not natural. Nobody wants to do that. We are kept, Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Blessing. Rejoice greatly. Even though now, for a little while, if need be, you're going to be grieved with various trials. That what? The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and the glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me throw this in here, that verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, though now you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible that you can't even express, and full of glory. Now, oh, wait a minute. I've never known a love like that. Not naturally. How can you love something or someone with a rejoicing, with a joy that you cannot even express, and full of glory? You can't. Unless you can see something, you ain't going to see it with your eyeballs. Oh, you know what you're going to see if you look around with your eyeballs? Tribulation, distress, darkness, fear. This world is screwed up here, there, and everywhere. And you know what? You know, we all know someone, or you've experienced it in your families, whatever. I know John and I have said it before. You know, our mom couldn't deal with her life, so she killed herself. She lived in America. You know, I've been overseas enough to know that I've had people tell me, if we could get to America, we could be Christians too. I said, you don't need to go to America to be a Christian. You'd be a Christian right here. Come on, Dorothy. It ain't over the rainbow. It's in your own backyard. It's right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Some people think America's Disneyland. I'm not kidding you. Money grows on trees here. They think they're trying to get here. I'm not telling you that I don't know. If you watch certain programs, it'll show it on the news. Do you know how many people have poured across our borders from every direction and from 160 nations? Where are they coming to America? They're taking all kinds of risks to get here. They're being raped and trafficked and beaten up and sold, crossing the river, dying in the desert. To do what? To get to Disneyland, man. Get to America. Where are Americans supposed to go? The moon? People don't understand. The kingdom of God came 2,000 years ago, and people are pressing into it. Joy to the world. Glory to God in the highest. It's here. The Savior's come. Where? What? The preaching of the cross, Paul said, is to those perishing, it is flat out foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding and the proof. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Yeah, a baby in a cave, a lamb in cave. The king. Oh, when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, behold your king, O Israel, riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, the foal of a donkey. Say what? They did not see him as their Messiah. They're looking for a physical king like King David. And this itinerant carpenter from Nazareth? Right. We don't think so. Yes, behold the wisdom of God. He has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. They miss it completely. People still do to this day. Hey, don't take my word for it. I mean, I know Israel's been in the paper lately, or on the news a whole lot because of what's happening. I feel bad for them for that. But really, when you get down to it, according to Scripture, do you know what Jewish people are? They're humans. That's like every other human. They're just humans. The Scriptures make it very clear. Jesus told the Jews, if you don't believe I'm he, you ain't coming where I'm going. You're going to die in your sin, is what he told them. Do we not rightly say that you're a Samaritan, you have a demon? He said, I don't have a demon. But he said, I do the will of my father, you do the will of your father. We're not born of fornication. Abraham is our father. God is our father. He said, your father is the devil. Woo, that went over big. I'm not fine. I'm just saying, they're human beings is all they are. They ain't no different than anybody else. If a Jew, do you realize that for the first 10 years in your Bible, all those Christians were Jews? All of them were coming, were Jews. The apostles were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. I ain't got nothing against Jews. Sometimes you hear about a person that you call a Messianic Jew. He was a Jewish person that became convicted that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, become a Christian. That's not so unusual. First 10 years of Christianity was Jews. Now, as a wholesale, as a nation, according to Big John 1, they rejected him. He came to his own, but they refused him. But to those who receive him, he becomes, you know, you become born again. Born not of flesh or will of the flesh or blood, but the will of God. Born again. If you receive him. Hey, call him up. Hey, Israel, do you guys believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah? Nope. Okay, just checking. I guess if they ever believe differently, you'll hear about it. I'm just saying. A lot of people don't believe this, but I'll tell you what. If you got eyes to see and ears to hear, it's life-changing. Because he will save you from yourself. That's how he saves us from our iniquity. He doesn't just forgive it. Oh, no, he goes right to the heart of the matter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, where did this sin come from? It comes from the heart of the man. The evil thoughts, the thefts, the murders, the blasphemies, the fornications, they come from the inner man, from the heart of the man, and defile the man. Change the heart, because that's your mind. Colossians 1 says, we were enemies, formerly enemies in our mind. The mindset to the flesh cannot please God. So God intended to come, send his son, preach a message of hope and salvation. The good news is we can give up our lives to save our lives. You know, again, the good news, the gospel, like I said, even the angels made it sound like pretty cool. We saw it was quite bittersweet, though, for the shepherds, wasn't it? But what about this? We know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I give them everlasting life. No one is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. Nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. And we know that in the end, God says there's going to be for those that are, you know, taken, you know, that have eternal life, there'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more tears, no more crying. All those former things will be gone. Man, that all sounds great. Blessing, blessing. Jesus said, you like that stuff? Okay, here's the deal, pilgrims. Matthew 20, 4 verse 16. Did I say that right? No, 16:24. I knew that sounded backwards. 16:24. Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow me, then deny yourself. Verse 24, Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does it profit if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? Yowzers. Deny myself? Take up a cross? Burden. Burden. Give up my life? Burden to save my life? I like my life. Jesus said, you got to hate your life in this world to save it. I'll just give you that. I'm just turning real quick to Big John 12. Big John 12. And look right here. Verse 25. He who loves his life is going to lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You can't love this place if you're paying attention. This is not a happy place. You know what? Even if you did manage to somehow find what you think would make you happy, good looks, one of them Hollywood hard bodies, you know, a lot of money, then you could be like Elvis or something, can't sleep at night, and take enough dope to sleep during the day. So empty, so hollow. I think of some of those that had all that fame and fortune. People, man, they can't figure out. When they heard Robin Williams committed suicide, they were stunned. Funniest guy, man. Hey, what the heck was the matter with him? He's a funny guy. Funniest guy in the whole world. Empty. Hollow. That was the front that he put out there. The poor guy. The poor guy. And killed himself. Right here in the USA. I'm sure he was rich. You see, those things, Jesus said, what you possess will never make you happy. You see, there is God's eternal purpose that's been put in place since before the world began. You start peeling that onion back to find out, yeah, what is the purpose? Yeah, why are we here? You're going to find out it goes before the foundation of the world. This is all intentional. Human beings all over the world, the Asian, the African, the Russian, the European, the American, Central, South, it doesn't matter, the humans. Gee whiz, if there's anybody in Antarctica, it includes them too, besides penguins. Made for this. This is not about culture. I've been overseas enough to many different places to know that personally for a fact, sitting right at their table, whether it's in a hut or off in some other place, it don't take long and all that culture is gone, man. It's just you. It's human to human. This book is about God and human beings. It's not about culture at all. We're made for this stuff. God came to save us from ourselves because, see, this is how he's glorified. I've created you, he said, for my glory. And you're going to go through this thing. I said, what do you want to call bittersweet or double-edged sword? However you want to look at it. Blessing or burden? Trust me, blessing. Deny self, take up a cross? That's a blessing. What's he trying to do? He's going to kill your old man. Not your dad, you. The other half of you. You have a dark side. The thoughts and intents of man's heart are only evil continually. That's your dysfunction. That's where your fear resides. That's where your pettiness, bitterness, hatred, murder, fornicating, immoral. Those things are destructive to human beings. I don't know about y'all. I certainly live down the other side of the tracks. Me, Stu, a lot of you that I know did too. Peter said, now you're ashamed, or Paul said, now those things you're ashamed. He's right. That was not fun. What was that old beer commercial? Was it, wasn't Miller Lowlife, it was not Bud Dummer. Those were my favorites. Was it Schlitz? What a name for a beer. It was something. And it shows these guys are like fly fishing, you know, in like Montana or somewhere. And then a helicopter comes in. And these blonde babes get off the helicopter with these cases of a beer. I can't remember what it was. And one of them guys said, man, it don't get no better than this. I know these dudes know, Rick and Troy and Jeff. And remember those days out there at night on the highway? And the guy's halfway through the windshield, or the vehicle's upside down, laying on him, and you're down there on the ground, you know, where they're trying to lift the truck off his back to pick up, you know, or the guy shot through the back window of the truck. They're both drunk. One's dead, and the other one's pinned in there. And you think, yep, don't get no better than this, does it? What a lie. What a lie. I did a lot of, I shouldn't even be saying this stuff, but stuff, stupid stuff like that, and I never seen helicopters and blondes coming out. Would get easy. It never was like that. But go out in the morning, look at your car, and see if you're dragging 50 feet of barbed wire and fence posts, grass under your bumper, thinking, what stupid thing did I do last night? No. He come to set us free from our iniquity through a new birth and a transformation of the renewing of our mind, so we can put off concerning the former conduct, Paul said in Ephesians 4, the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we may put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That is quality of life, being freed from yourself. That's what he come to do. That's the good news. That's what the angels were talking about. He's here, guys, unto you this day in the city of David. The Savior to save you from yourself just arrived. And the darkness went right after. When you read in Revelation chapter 12, that dragon, seven-headed dragon, stood right there before the woman ready to bring forth that male child to rule the nations with a rod of iron to kill it the minute it was born. But the child was caught up to God in his throne. The devil, the Lord got him right out of there. And then the dragon went to great wrath. And he made war against that woman, the church that brought forth that child. And those born of that woman, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, makes war with you now. The dragon wanted to kill our Savior. That's what you see. When you see Herod doing that, ain't Herod, that's the devil, man. Herod was just working for the devil. Just like all these other crazy despots out there. Poor people in North Korea chewing bark off the trees. Well, that guy's eating caviar and drinking all kind of French wines. Evil. And God allows it. Because the light that came into this world is greater than that darkness. He told Paul, stand on your feet. I got a mission for you. I'm sending you to the nations, and I want you to go and open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and receive an inheritance, eternal life, for those who have faith in me. Right there in Acts 26, Saul of Tarsus blinded on the road to Damascus, and that was the message. Get on your feet. I got a message for, a mission for you to send you to the nations, to send you to America, to India, Africa, Russia. Go and turn them. Open their eyes. That's the message. He came to save us from ourselves so we could live forever with him. That's the message. Be ready for it, this holiday season, as they like to call it. Let them call it whatever they want. Use it as an open door to get in, to tell the people what it was really all about. Mention to them what they don't see on the Christmas cards. That might open the door for an explanation like, ooh, what the deal with that? Yeah, what's the deal with that? There's more to the story, isn't there? Well, thank you for your attention this morning.